Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New With Everyone today. It is Thursday, March 7th, 2019, and we are broadcasting live from Northwest Arkansas over Blog Talk Radio and the Omega Radio Network. It's good to be with you this morning, and I trust that you're doing well. I want to thank the Lord for an amazing congregation that prayed me through a pretty desperate situation yesterday. I want to thank the saints that may be tuning in right now that have been keeping me in prayer for some, just getting through some minor, you know, health issues. Praise God, they're nothing. Hallelujah. You know, I truly believe in prayer. I truly believe in prayer, and I know that there's a greater faith yet to come, and I know that it is imperative for believers everywhere around the world to cling to Jesus more than ever before, and to believe more than ever before. I really believe that we're going into the wilderness, and that the luxury or the convenience of the systems of this world are not going to be there, and prayer and healing and miracles are going to be the order of every single day. Now, thank God, you know, we're not going to live forever in this temporary state of affairs here. We're not going to have to continue on. And whether we live or die, as long as we do so in the Lord, this is all a temporary deal. And we've got a lot of work to do. And it's imperative that the saints of God are equipped to handle whatever may come on a daily basis. Right now, I thank God that we have the opportunity to utilize the world systems. And yet we are watching from afar and realizing that those systems may not always be in place. And nobody knows the day or the hour when these types of things will happen. But we thank God and then realize, I mean, we do realize, and I hope everybody does realize this, that the time will come when, even if the systems are working, that there will be no access to them without receiving the mark of the beast. And that is the, you know, a topic of conversation all over the world. Well, what is that mark? You know, what will it be? Well, I was thinking just the other day, I was hearing from a gal that's in the Army in California that she was doing some exercises with law enforcement in California, and with tears in her eyes and sobriety, she was very concerned because what they're rehearsing for, according to this woman, They are rehearsing for the influenza virus, believe it is what it was, and that in order to avoid the concentration camps, as she put it, you have to have a bracelet showing that you received the vaccination for the influenza. And if you don't have a bracelet, then you are being brought into quarantine, into isolation, because this thing is supposed to hit heavy. And I was thinking about what she was saying, whether she seemed to be very sincere. The people that sent her message to us are, you know, on top of things, and they're not just throwing around, you know, propaganda and all that stuff. And so I was thinking how easy it really would be for a global government or the people that are that God knew was going to do this from the beginning of time. He knew these days would come, and he just foretold us about them. How easy it would be to spray the population and with a flu bug of some sort, and then the requirement to get healed would be to take this mark. I mean, when you think about it, it's really not that difficult. And when people are very, very sick, sometimes those conditions, those ailments, you know, in a moment of time, it's like Jacob and Esau. I mean, Esau was starving, and what did Jacob do? He sold his birthright to him. Esau gave up his birthright, sold it to his brother, just so he could have a little momentary relief from his hunger. And God said that he despised Esau for doing that. And so one of the equippings of the saints in the days in which we live is the equipping to be able to endure and undergo such a severe trial. Now, if anybody's ever been sick with the flu or just a really bad sickness, you know, you'll almost do anything to get relief. And that's a reality. You just want to get relieved from those conditions. And this is where the supernatural power of God is going to come into view. And if God was God, and not if, he was God in the wilderness to the Jews when they left Egypt, and he provided for them that the people did not wear out their shoes in 40 years, for goodness sake, and God took care of them, then we have to believe that our God will take care of us. And as I said, I'm thankful right now that we can use the systems of the world and get the help that we need. But when the time comes, we have to be more prepared. You know, I went to the doctor yesterday and they wanted me to take a steroid shot. And I just said, no, I'm not going to do that. Can, you know, let's avoid that. And the church prayed for me last night and I woke up this morning feeling 100 times better. And I just kind of opted out against getting steroids or shots or injections into my body. And because I want God to be the source of my healing, I want God to be the source of my provision, I want God to be the source of everything that I am and everything that I have. And so this is part of our equipping, is to make sure that we're prepared to receive the miracle working power of God in our lives. And I personally believe in miracles, and sometimes my head gets in the way. My natural thinking, my logic, my reason gets in the way. And yet this is the battle, you know, of my faith against my logic. And we look at things and see things that are impossible, and logically it doesn't work. But according to faith, there is power. There is miraculous working power. And I believe that with all of my heart. And in fact, have been the recipient of miracle healings and have actually seen people get healed through the laying on of hands. And I've witnessed it for years and years and years. Today, I've invited Patricia Joy to join me on the microphone and over the airwaves. Good morning, Patricia. How are you today? And what's going on in your heart?
Well, I'm doing just wonderfully. I did see a miraculous work of God with prayer that went forth last night at the Bible study at New Wine Ministry. And today my husband woke up. He had terrible fever and terrible headache, and he was absolutely well. It was so beautiful to experience. I got a text afterwards saying, we prayed for you, without them knowing what took place this morning when I discerned Vincent's healing. And I knew it was the prayers of the saints that helped to get him in the position in which he is now in. Now, he just ran out in the cold, and I do hope that he will stay in his well condition, because he needs a jacket. It's so cold out there and he doesn't have one. So pray for his covering by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And I know that most of the problems that we have, we are carrying heavy burdens on our shoulders. And he said, my yoke upon you is light. And that he wants to heal us of any burdens. And burdens cause sickness and disease, because we worry, we concern ourselves, our muscles tighten, the blood doesn't flow properly to certain organs in our body. And immediately, not immediately, but in the course of time, we find out that we are not feeling well. And so keeping burdens away and giving them to the Lord, because he says, let me teach you, I am humble and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls if we give those burdens to him. And he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin, hear me, dead to sin, and live for what is right. And by his stripes we are healed.
Well, amen to that. And while Patricia thought I ran out into the cold, she didn't know I was just standing on the other side here in the warmth. Anyways, yeah, he's out there running around, so we've got to do it. This is such an organic radio broadcast this morning. I love it. So one of the things that I think are probably the most important thing in our lives as believers, I was kind of perusing through Matthew this morning, and in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, it says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, I have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Fellow servants saw what was done. They were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother and trespass. So forgiveness to me, Patricia, is the key to everything. You know, we've talked about forgiveness for years and years and years. But what Jesus said, unless you forgive from your hearts, And we spend a lot of time in discussion and talking with a lot of people, and they've said they have forgiven people, but you could hear, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You could oftentimes hear that there isn't forgiveness. It's not done yet from within the heart at the deepest levels. And Jesus was telling every one of us that unless we forgive from the heart, we will not be forgiven. That's a very powerful thing. And I believe that unforgiveness really does block up the flow of the miraculous working power of God. Your thoughts?
I do not dispute that at all. In fact, the offense in which we receive through people who we believe have not treated us properly or right is a pretty deep work within the soul to bring bitterness of soul. And in that is where our lives truly go wrong. And what happens under the circumstances when we have been offended, we take on the work of trying to feel better about ourselves than giving it to the Lord. And when we do that, the agony of that particular offense begins to work its way deep. And then that root of bitterness takes root and begins to toxify or bring toxins into our systems. In other words, literally poisons our body through acidic means of thought, which brings acid flowing by our temperament and anger, literally within our bodies. We have to understand the workings of the evil one, how he makes us sick. And the greatest point that we need to make at this time is to trust in the Lord, as was said by Pastor Vincent. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not part of your heart, all of your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. And sadly enough, as Christians, we begin to think our thoughts and depend on our own understanding, which is so limited in the realm of truth. Seek God's will in all you do, in everything you choose to do, even to choose not to forgive. And he will show you which path to take. And don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Your wisdom is nil. You only have in your own mental capacity so much wisdom. And I will tell you that the most brilliant of all are limited in wisdom compared to the wisdom of God Almighty, who is all wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord, meaning know how awesome he is, and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. And if you need to repeat that scripture, you will find it in Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, one of my favorite. What say you on that?
Well, I say it's, you know, the word of God, and it's awesome. It's awesome. Today, Patricia, we woke up, and as you know, we're just kind of asking the Holy Spirit to really flow, because we want to have meaning for the people that are listening today. And I thought one of the things we could do, rather than just, you know, sharing, is open the telephone lines today and get some questions from people. And I would like to find out if there's, you know, people out there that you're, maybe you have some comments, maybe you have some questions, maybe you have something you'd like to talk about, and maybe you're wondering about something. Maybe we together we could share it, break it down, and get some answers. Again, I believe what we're talking about, if I'm understanding correctly today, is we're moving at a time where we're going to have to depend upon God for everything. And we have never, ever had to do that. Patricia, think about it. In this country, we have never, ever had to depend upon God totally and completely. Now, there are moments that people have had where they've had to, you know, for that brief moment, they had to trust God. They had to believe. But they didn't have to continually live that way. I mean, the Jews were 40 years. The Israelites were 40 years in the wilderness. And this is a testing time. So how do we, in a world that is filled with all kinds of availabilities and systems. How do we wean ourselves off of those things and understand that the time will come when they won't be available? I guess it'll just happen when it happens.
I believe it's by what we believe in the Word of God, in the promises that He has given to us. It's hard, though, to grasp hold and believe when you're shook up inside and you're finding yourself in a very negative way and very negative manner. But your heart being so desiring for relief starts to compel thoughts other than trust. Trust in the Lord is the only thing that will bring you to the place you need to be. But in order to trust Him, you have to believe in His word. And that's where the warfare comes in between the enemy and God Almighty, the Holy Spirit. And so in that warfare, we have to make a decision. Now, the accuser of the brethren will be knocking at your door every 5 minutes under certain circumstances to bring you into fear. But when you rise up and say no, you start using scripture. He did not give me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And you repeat those things every time the attack comes until the realization is that's true. And then you walk in that truth. And when the enemy comes again, you hit him with the sword of the Spirit. You knife him with a two-edged sword that you have been given, the Spirit of truth. So I would say to you, this is one method. It's called warfare.
Well, one of the things that the churches have really foregone, they don't want this kind of warfare. And what so many people are being trained to do is to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that He defeated the enemy. And what we fail to recognize is that while He has defeated the enemy, that we're to execute the judgment that has been written. Obviously, the Apostle Paul said, we wrestle. And when Paul said that we wrestle against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but principalities, he was saying then, and he's saying today, that the church is engaged in a spiritual battle. And there are demonic forces, and there are world powers. And you wonder, well, what is the wrestling match for? What are we wrestling world powers for? What are we wrestling the devils for? What is this wrestling match about? You know, what is, if you're in a wrestling match, you're supposed to win. If you're born again, right? And so what does it mean to win in this wrestling match? It doesn't mean to stay off the mat and not wrestle. It doesn't mean to lay down and let the enemy take you captive. It means that something in your life is destined to be victorious. Something in your life is destined to win a battle over the world, the flesh, the devil, your own human nature, your carnal mind, et cetera, et cetera. And so we really are in a battle, and we need to recognize the battle. And sometimes we don't even recognize the imperceptible movements of the enemy against our soul, and he goes undetected oftentimes. And so people get weary of the battle, and in the last days he's going to wear out the saints, isn't he?
This is what we have been told, and we already are aware of it. Therefore, preparation is necessary. One of the things that have helped me in writing my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, is to look at the various scriptures that talk about Jesus healing the people that came to Him. And after the study, I realized that He healed everyone that came to Him. He did not leave one soul out. And we need to also understand that these people were not people that were sinless. They came to Him in their sin, but what they saw was miraculous. They saw the work of Jesus Christ, and they came to that work that they saw, and their faith was there to receive their healing. Now, there is a lot of argument of who has the power of healing. Is it me? Is it Jesus? Who is it that has the power of healing? And what I have noted is that it is the one that has the power of healing. It's Jesus Christ.
All right, so let's take our first call. I want you to take this call, Patricia. This is coming in from area code 605. So let's
say good morning. Welcome our
good morning. This is Patricia Xavier. Well, good morning. How
good
are
morning.
You today?
Yes, very good. I just wanted to share something. It could be encouraging for the things that people go through. And like you said, what Vincent is going through at this time. You know, I was reading just this morning in the book of Psalms, 35, and it was David talking. And he had many trials and tests, but these false witnesses, it says in verse chapter 35, 11 through 13, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. So he prayed for the people that hated him, David did. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto my own bosom. And as I read this, then I got a devotional book out, and it was an explaining this. And even David the psalmist at that time, the people that hated him and the afflictions that he went through, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. And like you said, when we go through these things, it's hard because our bodies are in a condition where it brings us down, you know, sickness does. But at the same time, in our spirit, when we have to pray for our enemies that literally hate us, we have to do that in the spirit of love. So I learned something from this myself this morning, how that in the days that Jesus Christ himself walked on this earth and all the afflictions he went through and then on the cross, when you think of that, he's done all what he's done for his people. And, you know, there was not one bone broken in his body. But that's the way they used to crucify the people. So we are in a battle, but the Lord delivers us out of all of these troubles. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Praise God.
Amen. What a beautiful way of discernment. I guess God just opened up your heart so you would understand the depths of this forgiveness, the depths of praying for someone who has deceitfully used you or has done some harm in your life. And these offenses bring great destruction. And Jesus Christ himself said, pray for those who deceitfully have used you, abused you, and other things that they have done to hurt you. You know, this is a realization that very few people ever carry within their spirit and soul. And I believe that this is the time where we have to miraculously hold on to scriptures that prove that this is the way of God so that we can walk circumspectively and without harm within our own spirit, mind, and body, because the enemy will use those who have despitefully used us, won't he?
Yes, that is absolutely true. So our hearts, when we pray for people, you know, we have to, our hearts have to be pure, and because anything that's done in love and a pure heart, our prayers are not in vain. And
amen to that. And, you know, Jesus told us to do that very thing. He also healed many people who were sick with different diseases. He cast out many demons because the demons knew who he was, and he did not allow them to speak. Now, I want to say, Kathy, that we have Christ within us. The very same thing he did when he walked the face of this earth, he still does. He does it within us because he is in us for a truth. His seed has come into our heart. We've been watering it with the word of God so that we would bear fruit of righteousness and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And those fruits of the Holy Spirit is what makes this possible. And if we really believe we've been baptized, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, Christ the baptizer, we go forth and we do the same thing. Now, I know you have that kind of faith. And what we need to do is reach out to as many as we can that are listening to this program, that they would reach out in the same way, knowing that it isn't they who are doing the healing, but Jesus Christ within them, and have the faith and the wisdom to know it's a fact and it's truth. What do you feel about that?
Well, I believe that because Jesus said himself, well, when he was here, he said, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, Jesus, I will draw all men unto me. So he gets the praise, he gets the glory. And when you point the people, as whoever you're talking with in that, if you point them to Jesus Christ, they get their eyes off of man or persons, and they point it toward Jesus Christ, that's the key. I believe that's the key. And then he is lifted up. And then when they in turn say something, well, who helped you out of this situation? They can just say, Jesus Christ did.
Amen. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And also, Kathy, if people would realize within themselves when they go to pray over others that they have nothing to do with this except to be obedient to God's word, to do what he asked us to do. He said, what I did, you shall do also. Even greater things shall you do, because I go to my Father, and he sends the Holy Spirit unto man, unto those who will receive him. If we would know without a doubt that it is not us, but Christ in us, we would know to tell them, even before we touch them for healing, this is not I, but Christ within that will do such wonderful work regarding this.
Let me just interject a thought real quick as well. And I think that was a perfect, conversation right there. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul was writing and he said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things that are despised has God chosen, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so my thought is that God is doing this work in us, and there is a personal victory for each saint of God. And this is the magnificence of the Creator, is that while he is omnipresent, he is omniscient, he is omnipotent, he is an almighty God, and he embraces the universe, if you will. And yet the personal victory in each one of our lives, where he is doing a work on the inside of us, he is creating a character, he is creating a divine nature, he is training up a son, a daughter, bringing them to the fullness of the likeness of the firstborn Son of God. This is a work that only God could do. If we could do it on our own, Christ would never have had to go to the cross. God would not have given us the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage the saints today that there is a work, and it's our cooperation. And this is where our will is engaged, to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you know the Holy Spirit's leading when he is moving with the word of God. So when it comes to forgiveness, for example, where God calls us to forgive, we know that if that's the motivation or the influence that is kind of gnawing at us, bringing us to that place, Well, we could trust that's the Holy Spirit because that's the Word of God. And as we cooperate and yield to that leadership and Christ gives us the ability to do it, well, we have just forged a character. Not we, but God, through His Spirit, has forged a character's strength. And in the last days, the most important thing, Patricia Joy, is going to be the character of Christ in a people, because that is going to be the bride that is going to be manifesting forth the likeness of the bridegroom.
The only way.
Wow.
The only way that one could have victory in Jesus is to believe He is victorious. He's already overcome the work of the enemy. He cast out devils. He destroyed the enemy on the cross. Why then do we continue to hold on to the enemy and say that he has a right to victory in our lives when it is already a finished work?
Hello?
Yes. Did you hear me?
Yes. That was a good teaching, what was just brought out. And, you know, now I have a question. Okay. Now, is the day now happening, or is it yet to come when we will, as God's servants, we will be on this earth and we will just speak the word? Like, you won't be having prayer over them. You'll just speak the word and it'll happen, because the Christ Jesus that is within us will be speaking out of us. Is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. It is possible. And I would just kind of take this to another place, whereas, yes, the body of Christ right now, it has been granted the right to operate in the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God. I do believe that. I believe the works that Jesus did, those who believe will do the same works. And we've seen those same works duplicated in this earth in the last 2,000 years. We saw it in the early church in the book of Acts. And throughout the revivals and the dispensations of this church age that we've been in, we've seen the miracle working power of God. We've heard about it. People have written about it. And we have, to some degree, been recipients of it. And yes, there may be an explosion of that kind of reality. But the more important thing, in my understanding, is when I go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, I see that there is a woman that is brought into the wilderness. And we all remember, for example, in verse 15, and the serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So the dragon is wroth with her, but where did she go? Well, she was given the place in the wilderness. In verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And so the woman, representing the bride of Christ, I really truly believe that this is the bride, and that she is making herself ready in a wilderness experience. And it's in the wilderness that we are getting the character developed in our lives. And so while we're talking about a body walking through the earth doing miracles, signs, and wonders, Jesus said, I do cures today and tomorrow. On the third day, I shall be perfected. And that perfection, I believe, is in the nature, in the character.
Amen and amen. What a beautiful thought. You know, the word tells us in 1 John 5:4, for everyone born of God overcomes the world and the flesh and the devil. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Are we truly standing in the faith of God, or are we just proclaiming to do so, but when the enemy comes with his accusations, sickness and disease, worries and concerns about finances or relationships, what do we do? Do we stand in victory knowing that everyone born of God overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil? Do we do these things? We have to start asking ourselves this question on a consistent basis because of the times we're in. Body of Christ, it's imperative that we stand absolutely strong and not allow anything of that nature to come even nigh our being. We need to know who we are in Jesus Christ. We need to understand what he has done for us already. As I said earlier, he's already overcome the devil, the world, and the flesh. We, the overcomers, now must take our position. We must come into our high place. This is not just a good idea. This is a necessity. And every day we're going to be tried one way or another as to how we're going to respond. Not long ago, I didn't respond properly to a certain situation that came in my direction. I suffered for that until it was known to me that, yes, yes, God is real. I can do this. Okay, another call came in. Hello. Can I help you?
Yes, you can. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm doing even better when I heard Pastor Vincent and both of you on there. But when I heard his voice not crack like or anything else, I said, well, praise the Lord. That is good.
Well, prayers of the saints avail it much. And guess what?
Amen.
I learned? Will you want to tell me about it? You were one of them last night.
Well, yes, it was good. We had a good meeting. I thought it was good. I didn't get a chance to really talk to anybody about it, but we were basically talking about endurance, enduring, and, you know, brought up a lot of the scriptures pertaining to that. And that ties in with the very thing you're talking about this morning as well, because, you know, the question I have in my mind, have we really, really been tested in this country? We've had so much available to us. I don't think anyone's ever really starved or never had enough to drink or things of that nature, because there's always been food out there for anyone, even if you don't have any money. And, you know, I look at it that way. In this country, you know, there's millions of people even trying to get into this country because they know how good it is. And in their own country, they haven't had some of the basic necessities that are available. I can't help but think back to even in the military days when I went in, one of the DIs decided to go ahead and punish the whole company because some of the guys in formation backtalked to them. And you don't do that. Well, this was the middle of July in southern Georgia, and they ran us with our full packs on and rifles down to the rifle range, which was a few miles away. And then we got into the foxholes and started firing our weapons, and we didn't have any water. We didn't have anything of that nature. And the sweat was pouring off of us to begin with, and then there was no sweating at all, because we were getting totally dehydrated. Guys were dropping like flies. Then they got scared, the sergeants and the rest of them on there, because they realized they overdid it. And they brought in a water tank and had all of us line up to go ahead and get water. Interestingly enough, I couldn't even drink the water because, you know how Velcro is? Well, that's the way my tongue was stuck to the roof of my mouth. I couldn't even open up my mouth to get water in. I had to peel it off manually with my fingers so that I could even get water in. Now, you know, I finally realized how important water was. But how many people have been tested that way? And I think of it in terms of what is going to happen when water is at a minimum, when food is at a minimum, and we've never, ever been tested that way. So spiritually, it's almost on the same realm as well. We really haven't been tested the way some of the other peoples in some of the other countries have been. We've been a blessed nation, And I think our time is now limited, but I'm concerned about the people that are just going along saying, oh, we got everything, we have everything we need, we go to our church, we pray, we do our thing. And that's good, but they've never really been tested the way they have in other countries, and when it is going, what it's going to be like when the enemy, the Antichrist, does come in and begin to take power and deprive us of all the things, the Christians especially, of all the things that are necessary for us. You know, are we going to endure? Are we going to stand? Are we going to be able to go ahead and be able to defeat the enemy and be overcomers? That and, you know, we need to be starting to do those very things now in preparation, so when the time does come, we can stand, we can be victorious, we can be the overcomers in Christ, and that is available to us. But we better start practicing now.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Pastor. I mean, this is essential for these days we're in, what you have been mentioning about endurance. I know full well that I have heard more than once, I don't know the depths of this truth, except that it made sense to me, that said, to much whom much is given, much is expected. So more is going to be expected from us. And that it is difficult, truly more difficult, truly more of a bondage to have much, because when you don't have it anymore, you are in a terrible way of life. You're in dire straits. Now, I know that those who have been without in various parts of the world seem to do better than we do. In fact, in the time of necessity, when tribulation hits in a very severe manner, they're going to be able to do much better than we are, because they have not had all of the incredible goodies that we have been given through the years. I do know, and I have heard, that during the depression of this country, it was severe. And I also heard many jumped out of windows who had much money and could not bear the fact or the thought that they would have no more. And there were a lot of people committing suicide. So there has been some inconveniences in this nation, but within the latter numbers of ages, let's put it that way, a number of, say, a 40-year span or even a little bit more than that, the spoiling has been unbelievable, and to the fact where the movement now is so secular and so bent on having everything taken care for them that they are the ones that will probably be our greatest persecutors. Would you go along with that thought?
Pastor Patricia, it's Pastor Peggy. I certainly go along with that. I think that the scripture that is so strong in my heart, and go back to with all that we were talking about this morning, is 3 John 2, where it says, we will prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. So right back to whatever's in your soul, if you haven't been transformed by the word, if you don't have total trust and faith in your soul, whatever you face, you're not going to prosper. You're not going to be in health. It's the importance of everything is that your soul is prospering in the Lord, that your soul knows the truth, that your soul has put God first in everything. Everything falls in line after that.
Well, amen to that. And Peggy, it's good to hear your voice this morning. Trust you're doing well. But what do you do with the scriptures that talk about, you know, I could look at some verses where the proud man prospers. Those that do not serve the Lord, they have everything that they want. Their hearts are fat and rich. And why is it that within the Christian community, we undergo a time where we don't have, or there's lack, or there's infirmity, or there's sickness, or something to that effect, where, as in the world, the rich man prospers? I mean, you can look around the world today, you see all these wealthy elites, they're living for a very long time, whether it's George Soros or people like that. and they just seem to have these very long lives, and they just seem to be prospering like crazy, and yet, you know, their character is deeply flawed like the rest of ours, but without the saving grace of Christ. Are the Christians under a more, are the sons and daughters of God under a more strict discipline, and are these sicknesses and diseases and infirmities and troubles, are they punishments, or are they character developing courses to help us to get to where God wants us to be in our inward nature?
Absolutely, character developing. God is a refiner's fire, and, you know, as on one side of it, he will test all of our faith. And so if we're going through these things and just look to know that it is God taking your soul and transforming it by whatever you're going through, by the word, by circumstances, and the prospering we want is not necessarily wealth. God is concerned with our soul, the salvation of our soul, the transformation of our soul, and way more than wealth, although he does provide, and no doubt about it.
So you just mentioned a word. You said that God was a refiner's fire, and I'm just here in Malachi chapter 3, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And Kathy, I know that you're tuned in as well, and this is just the truth of the matter, that our God is a God, he is a refiner's fire. He is going to purge his floor thoroughly, and he's going to do away with the chaff, he's going to restore the wheat, and God is about getting things to the characteristic of himself in everything belonging to him. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. I do believe that. You know, giving back to this, in Revelations, you were talking about the wilderness, the woman taken into the wilderness. I believe, yeah, like Peggy brought out too, character, that's what God's after, and it's the character of Christ that he's trying to bring forth in his people, his bride. But this wilderness that God is talking about, is this the intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that you walk with? Because geographically, we're all over the place. The body of Christ, the bride, is all over the world. So we all can't gather in one spot. But there's a place in the spirit that God is bringing his people at for divine protection and so forth, because we're going to be led by the Holy Ghost. And then there is that scripture too, you know, in Psalm 34, it says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." So there is a place that God is bringing his bride into, and God does the choosing of his people.
Amen. Peggy, your comments.
Absolutely. I know we've talked about it, but it takes me back to how gold is refined. I mean, the refiner just turns up the heat, and he will take off all the dross that comes to the top, and he continues to do that. The flame is increased, the heat is increased, until all that dross comes to the top, and he can see himself in what is left, the gold or the silver. And God's doing this. He wants to see himself in us. He is going, if we cooperate, he's removing the things in our souls that have to be transformed, taken out, the hurts, the fear, or the whatever. There's so much. Everybody's individual, but God knows. And it's going to continue until he can see himself in us. And that's the bride without spot or wrinkle.
The divine reflection of God's glory in each one of us. And right now, the world that we live in, as people are noting with the different weather patterns and all of the wars and the rumors of wars and pestilence and famines and crime and all these different things that are going on in the world, They've been here all along, but there seems to be an acceleration of everything. This is the time that the body of Christ needs to really undergo the trial and to allow the work of Christ to be completed in us. This is the time of submission. This is the time of yieldedness. This is the time of surrender, brokenness, to take your stand right now and not to waver in any direction, but to stand and say, okay, God, have your way. I surrender. I'm not in control. You're in control. And I want your work in my life to be completed. I want your work. I am your workmanship. And I want this work finished. It is not pleasant. No discipline for the time seems to be joyous, but it's difficult. So I am asking for you to complete your work in me so that that divine nature, that golden image, that likeness, what you're looking for will be had so that I can experience a personal victory in my life. And as each one of us begin to experience a personal victory and overcoming by our faith, and this is we overcome by our faith is what the Word of God tells us. So as we each one participate in a personal victory of God's success in us, in building within us an eternal nature, then you put that all together, you needlework that, you knit join that together, and you have a bride, a glorious church without spot and wrinkle, as you said.
Amen. Amen. It's the only way to go. God is, if we just allow the Holy Spirit, the Lord, God, Jesus, to refine us, it's going to be glorious. That's when the world is going to see his glory on us, because we're going to just shine and be the lights that we're supposed to be.
Amen. I could, now it's me speaking. I hope we're not confusing the
we're
whole
just
world.
We're just back and forth here.
Yes, there are many calls were coming in, and this back and forth situation, we didn't get a chance to get everybody on there. But we do. We're at a time where we need to cry out to God and say, Lord, help me. It's that simple. Lord, help me. And when we do that and we believe with all our heart, now, Peggy, I know you know this because I know you've been an overcomer. You have been in dire straits more than once, and the Lord has lifted you up and out. In fact, if it weren't for him, I don't think he'd be here anymore, to be honest with you. And this dedication and love that you have for the Lord continued in you, regardless of what the circumstances were. And this is what we need in these days that we're in. We have to be like a dog with a bone. We can't shake it. We just cannot shake it off. We have to stand. And dedication toward our Heavenly Father has to be absolute. And I believe these programs are going to help to have that happen. And I am wanting to encourage people listening all over the world that if they are getting strengthened by what they hear, that they will continue to help us in this, in a financial way, to continue with this work we're doing on Omega Radio, because I think it's essential for the times we are in. And if they were so be so kind to do so, I would be happy to send my book to them, and my prayer would be a blessing if they would just email at Xavier777@gmail.com, Xavier777@gmail.com, with that intention, by giving their address and helping, we will be happy to send a book to help them overcome the devil, the flesh, and the world. Our time is up. God bless you all in all. Are loved.
Amen. And Patricia, I want to thank you for joining me, and Kathy and Peggy, thanks for calling in today. We really appreciate your calls. It was a good conversation. We need to have much more of it. The good news is back on over on the Omega Radio Network. Patricia Joy Xavier has a roundtable discussion underway, so we hope you'll get on over there. Thanks for tuning in today. God bless everybody. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier. God bless. Right now, Omega Radio, the roundtable discussion continues on. God bless.